Welcome to the Promises of the Constitution podcast.
Hello, this is Pamela Romney Openshaw with podcast number 14 of our series. The title of our podcast today is The Only Possible Source of Wise Law is God. This is part three in a trio that I'm doing on the Christian orientation of our government. Part one was the Christian basis of our founding fathers, and part two was the Christian foundation of our founding documents. So let's begin the topic today with this question. When we create laws, do we want them to change? This is a very important question because the answer is determined by our belief in God. Because, you see, God is the key to government. An unchanging law will come from God, who is an unchanging being. Changeable law comes from man, because by his very definition, man is a changeable being. Taking a look at this, what laws do we want to remain unchanging? Well, certainly our individual rights, our freedom of speech, our right to worship as we choose, our right to defend ourselves, our privacy, and the right we have to keep our private affairs safe from the prying eyes of others, our right to self-government. These are all protections, things that have remained stable throughout history. They are rigid principles that keep us safe. They are like the steel frame of a skyscraper, rigid in a very positive and very beneficial way because they protect us and give us structure. So how about changeable laws? We have laws that are changeable, and it's perfectly acceptable. We'd probably be more inclined to call them rules. Things like our speed laws, our safety requirements, and our building codes that change because of new technology, the hours that a park operates under. These are minor application of principles, and it's okay if those things change because they give order and organization to our lives. These kinds of things, these changeable principles that are implemented by man, flex like jello as compared to that rigid framework of a skyscraper. Now, I don't know if you like jello or not, but in our family, that's a tradition. And when the grandchildren come over on Sundays, everybody's always really excited. Yes, we're at Grandpa's house. We're going to have jello today. Well, you can take a bowl of jello, no matter how firmly set it is, you can wiggle that bowl and that jello flexes. That's what happens to a law that is made by man. So long as all we're doing is these minor applications of principles, it's okay if they flex like jello. But when we begin to change the principles of the law, the foundation of the law, the things that are really important about the law, those things must remain rigid. We have to remember that nothing that man creates is permanent. And why is that? Well, because philosophies change, regimes change with different people coming to power, and those different people have different ideas. Popularity wanes and waxes, economic pressures ebb and flow. And so those things, directed by and part of man, are always changing. But our laws, the principles of our laws that keep us safe, they must not be included in those things that change. Let me give you an example of this. My husband and I spent a year and a half in Italy doing missionary work there, and we came into contact with a Nigerian man whose name was, his first name was Adu, and because his last name was so difficult to pronounce, nobody ever pronounced it, and so we all just called him Brother Adu. One day we went over to visit Brother Adu, and we noticed that he was really down, and so we said, "What's the problem?" because he was usually just a cheerful man, and he said, "I just received notice from the bank today that my payments on my apartment are going to go up by 200 euro a month," which at that time was $300 American. And, you know, that's a real bite. And so we said, "Well, we're so sorry about that. I mean, that would just be, you know, that would really put you down." And he said, "Yes, when I purchased this apartment 22 years ago, my payments were 200 euro a month, and now through the years they have increased, and now they are 1200 euro a month." And we said, wait a minute, you purchased this apartment? You don't rent this? You purchased this apartment?" And he said, "Yes." We said, "Did you sign a legally binding document?" And he said, yes, I did. And we said, well, they can't raise your monthly payment on that. You signed a document that said your payment was $200 a month. Then for the life of the time that you own this apartment, that this legal contract is in play, you should be paying $200 a month. They can't raise your rent or your monthly payment to 1,200 euro a month. And he said, well, maybe not in the United States, but in Italy they can. And it was a very clear-cut example to me for just what happens when law that should remain rigid becomes jello. Because Brother Adu's mortgage payment should have been a skyscraper, and instead it was jello. So I would ask you, do you think there would ever be a time that you would not need the protection of unchangeable law? Let's take a little closer look at law itself. So there are really three requirements for protective enduring law. The first is what we've been discussing, that it's unchanging over time. The second is that it be discoverable, that it's obvious, that it's logical, that it's likely that future generations will be able to find this law. And the third characteristic is that it must be fixed. In other words, that it has universal application. No favorites are played by this law. Three characteristics: unchanging, discoverable, and fixed. And these requirements hold for any kind of law. Physical laws, physical and scientific laws, for instance, the law of gravity, the fact that the sun is going to come up every morning, the fact that the earth is going to remain in its rotation around the sun. These things are all scientific laws. They cannot change, and we don't dare ignore them. How about moral laws, things like fidelity and honesty and respect for life? These, again, are things that need to remain rigid. We cannot ignore them without serious consequences and without our society and our culture falling apart and, in fact, our families falling apart. So if you look at a family that has abandoned moral law, there would then be no commitment, and the family itself would perish and the society perishes with it, as we saw in ancient Greece, in ancient Rome, and to a degree in Germany of some decades back. And then finally, there is the civil and the political law, which we cannot violate without having eventual chaos. And that is what we are finding happening in the United States of America today. Because, you see, our laws anchor our freedoms. They codify what is right and what is wrong. They protect individual worth. They give us long-term stability. And Christian principles must be at the foundation of those laws. Agency and fairness, safety, the right to protect yourself, justice, the responsibility that you have to work to provide for yourself, order and organization. You remove these principles from the law, and you remove the anchor that keeps us safe and stable, and you set us adrift as a society. So let's take a look at some of the ways skyscrapers are changing to jello in America today. Let's look at our rights. Our privacy is being seriously invaded by technology. We are finding our right to speak freely infringed by laws that control, for instance, hate speech. Certainly, we don't want people speaking hatefully, but when you pass a law making hate speech illegal, and then you change the definition of hate speech to involve, for instance, someone who is speaking of their religion, you take away freedoms in a major way. That is very dangerous. How about laws that are changing concerning our equal treatment in the courts? We have some who are committing crimes and who are escaping justice. Our laws on immigration are applied unequally. They are not enforced in the same way. We have a friend named Priscilla who's been trying for 7 years to gain citizenship in the United States, coming in from Brazil. She has spent thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on this and waited for 7 years, and yet, had she come into the country illegally, she would be able to participate in all kinds of benefits at this point in time. These are laws that should have been skyscrapers and instead are jello. How about property rights? Well, the Environmental Protection Agency is drafting so many workplace regulations that it's making it very difficult for businesses to even remain in the United States. It's killing major amounts of jobs. How about federal land grabs taking place through the Bureau of Land Management, where water and grazing rights are going away even for those who own the land, and for property seizures are taking place for individuals that haven't even been convicted of a crime that would require any kind of a seizure or or even make a kind of a seizure feasible? How about commerce restrictions on family farms where the goods produced are going to be consumed on site? How about Agenda 21, the very oppressive form of world government coming to us from the United Nations that's going to dictate how American property is going to be used? Again, skyscrapers changing to jello. How about our economics laws, the Federal Reserve System, which is a private organization run for the profit of those private individuals? It dictates our policies. It dictates our interest rates. It has left us with boom and bust cycles, very damaging to all of us. The gold and silver standard has gone away, which is part of our Constitution, leaving us with inflation. And now we have taxation, excessive taxation, redistribution of wealth that takes what you have earned and gives it to others in the form of entitlements. And how about the laws involving relationships that are being drafted, where moral standards are dictated to us and our compliance is demanded, where our ethics and our values have become skewed, and where we now have individuals that are being punished for their beliefs? All of these things, skyscrapers changing to jello. Let me give you some quotes from others on this concept of changeable man-originated laws that really, if we define them, we say that this is humanism, where God is disappearing from the picture and man and his reasoning and what man wants or what a group of individuals want is replacing the God-given rights that we have. This is humanism. Dr. Mary Poplin, the director of teacher education at Claremont Graduate University, said, "The defining tenet of humanism is that human reason is sufficiently reliable and just to guide the course of our lives without consideration of divine authority." Jenna Ellis said in her excellent book, A Legal Basis for the Moral Constitution, quotes Francis Schaeffer, who said, "Humanism means man is the measure of all things. He must start from himself in the realm of knowledge and learning, and any value system must arbitrarily come from man himself." It is so easy to see the dysfunction in this idea. You put five people in a room, you're going to have five opinions. Which opinion will prevail? The opinion of that person who overpowers the others. Let me give you one final quote. This is from Nancy Piercy in her book Total Truth. She said, "A secular approach to politics first took root in the universities, who said the study of politics must be scientific and value-free. Politics was no longer animated by moral vision, which was a radical departure. At the birth of our nation, politics was the pursuit of moral ideals, justice, fairness, and the common good, profoundly moral. Today, morality is reduced to subjective preferences, whatever the individual happens to value." So, in just a little wrap-up here, if we replace our Christian values with the values that puts man first, this is what we end up with. In the civil law, we end up with regulatory controls, with fake news, with false rights, and with government that leads to socialism and eventually to communism. In our moral laws, we end up with abortion, cohabitation, promiscuity, and alternative family lifestyles. And in our world of economics, we end up with disregard for personal and corporate restraint. We end up with excessive debt, excessive taxation, and the legal plunder of government to redistribute goods. So in summation, our Constitution is being attacked and changed. Our laws, civil, moral, and scientific, must be Christian-based. If you would like more information on this, go to my book, Promises of the Constitution. Section 7 talks about basic principles, and we talk about a lot of these things. And Section 8 deals with economic principles. Section 12 deals with secular humanism itself. And my DVD, Humanism, Attack on Freedom, also goes into these same concepts and takes them into other areas of our society, such as politics and science and such things as that. It's been a pleasure to be with you. We'll see you next time.
To have Pamela speak to your civic or church group, please call 801-373-0240 or email openshawenterprises@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Promises of the Constitution podcast. Be sure to go to Pam's website, promisesoftheconstitution.com, to purchase her books, DVDs, and her online educational courses available to watch on any electronic device.